Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 510th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for lowest priced last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog's Pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry. Use promo code SGPN at UnderdogFantasy.com for a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 510 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to our favorite Brazilian grandma, Silvia Silva, who brings in all the YouTube views for us. So this goes out to you, Silvia. I'm sure you're listening. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, episode 510. If this is your first time, though, jumping in, the episode, all you need to know is this is the show where we get sticky with things, and we're going to get sticky today. Very, very sticky with UFC Fight Night Moreno versus Roybal 2. We're going to get so sticky, but just with the prelims. Tomorrow we shall get sticky with the main card. So we got UFC going down from Mexico City, which means it's actually a decent fight night card. It's not one of our UFC Apex style cards where you get a middleweight main event and then a bunch of questionable fights throughout it. No, this is a quality fight card with lots of flyweights on it, which usually is a good thing. 5 flyweight fights out of the 13. No. Yes, 13 fights. So we're going to cover 4 of those flyweight fights today and 3 other weight classes on the prelim portion of the card. This fight card's at weight class above lightweight. And now Gumby's dog's barking and so is mine. It's going to be a good episode. Except mine's very close.
The dogs are barking. Isn't that what we want?
I don't know if they're going to be barking this week, Gumby. Let's bring Gumby reeling in and see. Are the dogs barking this week, Gumby?
I think there's a chance.
Lula, shut up. Dumb.
Okay. I love that. You're dumb. Yeah. I think there's a chance that they're barking. I would say we're probably back to probably the mean here. Because the dogs had been white hot all year. To an extent where people were like, what the hell is going on? And then we get last week where I mean, if you want to count Leah Tapuria as a dog at like, you know, a lot of books had him at like +100 or, you know, some even had -110. I guess you had one underdog hit last week. So it came back down to earth. I think you see probably the, the 33% we normally see this week.
You're very correct. 66% is the hit rate for favorites now. Lifetime is 67. So yeah, you're right. We're right where we should be. But women's favorites, 7-2 this year. So usually women's, like last year, women's came through at a higher rate. Women underdogs were at what? They were at 36%. Men's were only 31%. So this year it's the ladies that are squashing the underdogs. So
I wonder how much of that is wide lines though. Mm-hmm. Because even, you know, we got one this week and you know, what is she like, negative 520 or something like that, or negative 460? You know, like it's, I think we've had a couple of women's fights in there that were like a little bit more like squash matches, and setups to showcase a particular woman's fighter. So like, with that being said, I think maybe that regresses to the mean too, when we start seeing a little bit closer of the matchmaking later on in the year.
Yeah, it is a small sample size is what we have to remember. And usually all these things revert back to the way they should have been. A lot of big lines this week, especially on tomorrow's show, the main card. We've only had three plus 200 or higher dogs come through this year. So just keep that in mind for anyone who wants to take big swings on fights. Don't come through super frequently. We've had 21 underdogs come through, and three of those have been big dogs, I would say, over 200 dogs. So like 1 in 7. So just something to keep in mind, because there is a lot of big dogs this week. Bet my co-host is going to take a swing on at least one, because he tends to swing at least swing the dogs. At least one. There you go. There you go. He's smiling. He is taking a swing on one. Any thoughts or actually any news articles? I don't think anything interesting has happened over since we recorded last, right?
No, I don't think so. It seems like UFC 302 officially has a location. I don't know if that's news to you. The Prudential Center in New Jersey, which means New Jersey's going to get two fight cards in a pretty short period of time. I'm not sure it's officially announced, but Aileen Perez, who is obviously the big news breaker in the UFC, posted that she was going to be fighting in New York in for UFC 302 against Jocelyn Edwards. But one of the hashtags was Prudential Center, which is in New Jersey. And I'm assuming this is just her not knowing that New York and New Jersey are different places. Seemingly it seems like that is going to be the locale for 302, which was at least news to me when I saw it.
Yeah. Fairly. Have you seen an event in New Jersey? I thought you had.
I went and saw Nate Diaz versus Jim Miller headline a fight card that had Tony Ferguson's last loss before he went on an insane winning streak.
Yeah, and became champion for all those years too. Got a title shot. You know, everything went smoothly, right?
Yeah, things seem to still be going well for him. Although he got a huge pop at UFC 298. Did you hear that? Like they showed him on camera and like the place went bonkers. He's beloved despite having like an insanely boring fight with Paddy Pimblett.
Was he hinting about another fight?
No indication he's retiring. If not, you just have to book him in Game Bread Bare Knuckle MMA next.
Exactly.
I don't like that anymore, to be honest with you.
Yep. All right, let's get down to this exciting event. We're finally hopefully getting Edgar Chariz versus Daniel Lacerda, right? So we shouldn't waste any more time. I don't even know. It's not the main event, though, shockingly. It's UFC Fight Night. Moreno versus Roybal 2. Actually, the top two fights are both rematches this week, but we're not talking about those today. Today is the prelim portion, four flyweight fights, a bantamweight fight, a lightweight fight, a featherweight fight. So like I said, the heaviest people hitting the scales on Friday will be 155 pounds. So I don't remember an event like this.
I
love it too. It's like WEC all over again. WEC never die. Yeah. So hopefully it comes through like WEC used to come through with the event. So this is going down in Arena CDMX in Mexico City, Mexico, this Saturday. We're back to the 7 p.m. start time, ESPN Plus, for the prelims, 10 p.m. for the main card. We're not kicking things off with a flyweight, though. We're kicking things off with a featherweight fight. Eric Silva, which is the most common name in MMA. This is Eric with a K, which kind of changes things, versus Muhammad Naimov, another common MMA trope, names that end in Ov. We're going to tell you about Silva first. He is king, Eric Silva. We can't make him go last. He's got to go first here. He is 9-2, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted twice, so he's been finished in both of his losses. 0-1 the UFC. Before that, he won 8 straight fights to get himself into the big show, including a fight on the Contender Series. He did lose via submission in his last fight. That was way back in December 2022. What's he been doing, Gummy? Do you have any intel on this?
I don't. No, I got nothing.
Do you remember who he fought?
TJ Brown.
Yes. Did he get hurt in that fight? I don't think he noticeably got hurt, right? He got submitted, but It's not like he got his arm ripped out, I don't think. But anyhow, he's been gone. Gone. He is back, though. May as well tell you that stat. Fighters who have been out at least a year win 46% of the time. So a little better than a coin flip going with someone who who's fighting someone who has been rusty. Because ring rust exists. Sorry, Dominic Cruz, but it does. Silva is a regional champ, or was. He's fight at lightweight. An inch of reach over Naimov, so pretty much push there. Better grappling stats based off of his two fights we have stats for Silva. And he outstruck his opponents in those fights by 0.59 strikes per minute. Plus 333. There's a fun number. Naimov, Hillman is the nickname. 10-2, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-0 in the UFC. He's part of a 5-fight winning streak. He's not lost since February 2021. He's fight at lightweight. 0-1 in contender series. 7 years younger than Silva. He's more active landing strikes than Silva. Despite going, 2-0 in the UFC, he lost in contender series. Despite that, he's been outstruck by 1.29 strikes per minute in the UFC, and he is in contender series. And he is at minus 330, one of those big lines I was talking about. All right, Gumby, kick us off.
All right, so first of all, let me apologize for kicking off there. My button, my cord hit the airplane mode button on my laptop.
I didn't notice.
Yeah,
I was
telling you TJ Brown was who he fought prior.
Yes.
Eric Silva had fought TJ Brown.
I heard you say that.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Yeah. So I felt like I disappeared when I said TJ Brown. But anyway, TJ Brown. I'm going with Naimov here. To your point, he did have a little bit of issue with being outstruck on the feet. Some of that is fighting Nathaniel Wood. But think about what a downgrade this fight is for him. Yeah. Having fought Nathaniel Wood. And did enough of his grappling in that fight and enough of his cage control in that fight to get judges to give him the scorecards, which I know it was a close fight. And some people, had it Wood's way or thought that Naimov didn't do enough on top or whatever. But he did enough on top for the judges to sway a judge's scorecard against Nathaniel Wood, who has looked really good at featherweight with the exception of this fight. And for me, when it comes down to it,
it's going to be nonstop. I'm in a different spot today. She sucks so bad. But go ahead. I'll mute myself. Go.
Yeah. So my thought here on this one is that, if that works so often against Nathaniel Wood, I think it's going to work against Eric Silva, because Eric Silva had trouble with the grappling of TJ Brown. If you have trouble with the grappling of TJ Brown, there's no reason to think you won't have trouble with the grappling of Muhammad Naimov. So, I think he controls the position. I don't think the negative 330 looks all that bad. I think you probably just take that, roll it into a parlay somewhere.
Yeah, Naimov is my pick as well. All the things Gumby said, plus Silva's inactivity. And Naimov has, looked good, found a way to win in the UFC against pretty good competition. Jamie Larkey isn't the worst fighter in the world. And then he took another step up in his next fight against Nathaniel Wood. This is probably his, at least on paper, this is his easiest opponent he's got.
Definitely.
In the UFC, right? So,
definitely. Yeah.
So Naimov is the pick here. Hopefully he kicks things off for us, right? Plus he's 7 years younger, which is huge, especially for a lightweight class. So, all right, before we move along, let me tell you about Game Time, the spot to go for tickets. I've been on there a lot recently, looking at tickets, trying to find cheap seats for events. It's a good app, good website, and Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, MMA, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section in a row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without stress with Game Time. Download Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Again, terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, and college basketball, call MMA, tennis. I think they got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, any plays for us? NBA's coming back. You got sports again.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a little preview of the fight we're about to break down. I'm going to take Felipe Dos Santos is higher than on his significant strikes. He's listed at 76.5. I think this one turns into kind of a brawl, and he lands plenty here to hit the higher than.
All right, there you go. A sneak peek on the fight we're going to cover very, very shortly. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's website, mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. And if you get in our Discord and you send Gumby a screenshot of you signing up with that code, maybe you'll get some swag sent to you. Who's to say, right? All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Flyweights. Hey, the aforementioned Felipe Dos Santos is fighting Victor Altamirano. 125 pounds. I'm going to tell you about Altamirano first. El Magnifico is the nickname. We got a couple of good nicknames going against each other here. He's 12-3. Two knockouts, four submissions. He's been submitted one time. 2-2 in the UFC. He's won two of his last three and six of his last eight. Did lose his last fight. Was the LFA champion before all of this. An inch of height over Dos Santos. Better striking stats and better grappling stats. And he has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.01 strikes per minute, plus 240. Dos Santos, Lipe Detona. Didn't we debate this nickname? It means like lip detonates, right?
Yeah, I think it's like mouthy, basically, is what it means. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were thinking he knocks people's lips off, but yes, mouthy works as well. He's 7-1, two knockouts, three submissions, never been finished any fight. His one loss came in his UFC debut. He's 9 years younger than Altamirano, more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck over his one UFC fight by 0.87 strikes a minute, minus 298. Dos Santos is my pick, as Gumby alluded to. He's going to land a lot of strikes here, way younger than Altamirano, especially at flyweight. 9 years is a massive, massive gap. And I think he's got the all-around game to win this fight. So another big favorite, but it's probably that for a reason. Dos Santos is the pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dos Santos too. I think the biggest piece of this for me is that Dos Santos went toe-to-toe in the nail cape in his debut and did just fine. He didn't win the fight, right? Taking a fight on short notice against maybe the number one contender for the belt right now, maybe the best flyweight in the world. When Minocape has intention and moves forward and gets after it, I'm not sure there's anybody better than him. I'd love to see him fight Pantoja again. I think that fight is probably, next on the docket or very close to being on the docket. And Dos Santos did just fine against him. So with all that being said, I think the fact that he brawls really well, he's got incredible cardio, he's going to be way faster than Altamirano. I mean, again, I mentioned Naimov is a good parlay piece at negative 300. I don't think he has any problems with Silva. Same thing here with Dos Santos. I think you could probably roll these two together. You're going to get almost even money on them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think Altamirano has anything for him. He's going to be way slower. His striking's not as sharp. Even if they brawl, I like the gas tank of Dos Santos better, even going to high elevation, which is obviously something we should probably be factoring into these breakdowns, is that the environment will be a factor. But yeah, I like Dos Santos here.
Yeah. So pick fighters that actually train out of Mexico, perhaps. Is that the angle we're taking here?
If that's true, then we just took a Brazilian fighting a Mexican, so I'm not going to say that is the blanket statement. But I will say, too, there's different ones, you know, and I'll have a little bit of insight later when we're talking about this. There are some fighters who are Mexican but don't train in Mexico. Like, we're going to talk about Daniel Zellhuber tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He trains in Vegas. So, like, you could try to factor that in if you want. But, like, there are certain times it makes a lot of sense. There are certain times it didn't. It seems like a lot of the guys went there early enough so it won't factor in. There's at least one fight on this card where I do think it's going to be a big factor. But I wouldn't just, like, blanket statement say, like, you know, the cardio advantage goes to every Mexican, because Dos Santos is one of those guys with a crazy motor.
Yep. Crazy motor, and like I said, way just a better fighter all around, I think, than Altamirano. Way younger, which is going to be, I think, a huge thing cardio-wise, whether you're at altitude or not, especially at flyweight. Let's stick with flyweight, shall we? Luis Rodriguez versus Dennis Bonder. 125 pounds. Bonder is psycho. I'm not saying that. I'm not calling him psycho. That's his nickname. He's psycho. 19-4, four knockouts, 13 submissions. So he's a submission specialist, you would say. A finisher, too, for flyweights. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. So he owes his rounds all around, this man. 0-2 in the UFC. So before that, he had won 9 straight fights. Has not won a fight since August of 2020. Was regional champion. Used to fight at bantamweight. He's got 4 inches reach on Rodriguez. Better striking stats and 4 times more active fighting strikes than Rodriguez. But Rodriguez has fought one time, and that was on Contender Series. And Bonder has been outstruck over his 2 UFC fights by about a strike and a half. He's at -1.53 on the board, +105. There we go. We got some close odds here. Lazy Boy is Rodriguez's nickname. 15-2, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. His UFC debut comes on the strength of 5 straight wins and 11 of 12. He has won 2 straight wins, have come via finish. He's not lost since August 2020. That was on the Contender Series, where he went 0-1. Used to fight at bantamweight as well, regional champ as well, 7 years younger than Bondar. He got outstruck in the Contender Series by almost 2 strikes a minute, 1.93. Based off that one fight, he had better grappling stats than Bondar. -110. Gumby.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rodriguez here. I think you kind of have to just throw that Contender Series fight out, because it was a bad loss, and it was a bad loss to a bad opponent. No offense to Jerome Rivera, but Jerome Rivera did not fare well in the UFC. But also, we're talking about Ronaldo Rodriguez and that fight. Which, by the way, did you call him Luis Rodriguez or Ronaldo Rodriguez?
I called him Luis. Does he go by Ronaldo?
He's going by Ronaldo now. It's Luis Ronaldo Rodriguez, but there's another Luis Rodriguez on the regional scene. And I think he's trying to differentiate himself before he gets to the UFC. So he's Ronaldo Rodriguez now. So Ronaldo Rodriguez, I think in that fight, first of all, he had just turned 21 years old. So, like, lots of growth since then. And then he's plowed through the Mexican regional circuit since then and looked better and better and better every fight. It looks like his grappling's coming around. He puts on great pace. He couldn't find fights at flyweight on the regional scene, so he's been beating up bantamweights with almost no problem. And I think the thing for me about Bondar is, if you've looked at any of his fights in the UFC, it's like he shoots some takedowns kind of maybe too frequently for his own damn good. And when he does, he tires. Now we're going to put him at elevation against the guy who trains at elevation. You know, I mentioned before, there's only a couple of fights on this card that I really trust this, you know, elevation tactic of looking at things. This is clearly one of them for me. Ronaldo Rodriguez trains at elevation. He's got a good cardio, good gas tank, has been fighting fights at elevation. You got Bondar, a guy who's tired when he's not fighting at elevation. I think he's going to put a pace on him. I don't think he's going to be able to keep up with it. I think Rodriguez is the much better fighter on the feet. And I think he could even mix in the takedowns too for himself if he wanted to tire Bondar faster.
7 years younger too. I'm harping on that, but I think that makes a big difference, especially at this weight class. Overall, 5 years younger or less wins 64% of the time, 65% this year. So it is a pretty big factor. I haven't broken it down by weight class, but I would assume it would be bigger at the smaller weight classes. Yeah, if you watch Rodriguez fight, which I have, I did some film study, got me to remind me of these guys. Good fighter, really, really puts a pace on and has some decent power. So Rodriguez is a pick. Really like the line we're getting on him. I can't say that about too many lines this week, but his line I like. All right, before we move on, I also like Hall of Fame bets. So I'm going to tell you all about why I like them. Because you win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Are we sticking with flyweight? No, we're going up, up, way up. Lightweights, Claudia Puelisch versus Faris Zayam. I will tell you about Puelisch versus El Nino or Prince of Peru. You take your pick. You can call him either. I think I'm going to call him Prince of Peru. He's 12-3, two knockouts, seven submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 5-2 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last six, got TKO'd in his last fight. That was back in November 2022. Where's he been, Gumby?
I honestly think he's just been getting some work in. You know, like in that fight, you know, he was coming off of a five-fight winning streak. He runs into Dan Hooker, which, like, no shame in running into Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker, you know, like, kind of surprised us all with a resurgence in his career. And I think he just was like, hey, there are some deficiencies in my game. I can't just knee bar everybody anymore. Now that I'm fighting these higher-level guys, I got to get back to the drawing board.
There you go. Hopefully he's been drawing well. He went 3-0 on the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at, featherweight, 2013 Pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats than Zayam. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.11 strikes per minute, plus 180. The Smile Killer is Zayam's nickname. 14-4, five knockouts, four submissions. He's been submitted three times. 4-2 in the UFC. He's won two straight and four of five. So two guys on the way up. Has not lost since February 2022. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. I'm wearing it right now. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. And it's really soft. It's a nice soft shirt, by the way, as well. What else can I tell you about this man I'm speaking of, Zayam? He used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. 2014 was his pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 3 inches reach over Welsh. So a moderate size advantage for him. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.81 strikes per minute. Minus 210. You know what I do in striker versus grappler matchups? I take the striker, but no, not this time. I'm taking Puelisch. Only thing worried about is his time off, but hopefully he's been doing what Gumby says he's been doing and getting better. He was on quite a tear leading up to this. Going to be way better grappler than Zayam. Smile Killer might make it sound like Zayam is a knockout artist, but he really isn't, especially not in the UFC. So I think Puelisch can survive on the feet with him. And he's going to more than survive on the ground. So Puelisch is a pretty big dog, and I like him.
Yep, I'm with you on this one. Team right here as well. I think Puelisch, you know, like when you look at the level of competition this guy was beating, Zayam fits right in, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Grootsmacher, Clay Guida. You know, like if you book Clay Guida versus Faris Zayam, and what do you say? You're like, I don't know. Guida's probably a live dog, right? Mm-hmm. Because he could wrestle and take him down and stuff like that. Puelisch outplayed Guida on the mat. You know, he outworked him on the mat and pulled the knee bar and won that fight. And I think he could do the same here against Zayam. I think he's the better grappler against Zayam. I think he can hold his own on the feet. I love the fact he took a step away for as long as he did. There's so many fighters who go on five-fight winning streaks. They get that big first fight, that Dan Hooker-level fight, or, you know, Bobby Green or somebody like that, they get turned away. And then they're like, I got to get back in there. Give me a short notice fight against anybody. Give me a short notice fight against this guy, that guy. Give me that opportunity. Not Puelisch. Puelisch was like, I need some time away. I need to figure some things out. And then he figured him out. I'm going to say this is the perfect opportunity for him to come out with advanced striking, with a better wrestling game. And when he's on the mat, I mean, he didn't need to work on anything on the mat. He was already good there. And I don't think Zayam's going to have an answer. So, yeah, give me Puelisch. Definitely give me the dog money, too.
Hopefully the dogs are barking like the dogs are barking at our respective homes today, right? Is it both your dogs are bad or just one of them is barking?
I don't know what's going on. I think there were some turkeys in the yard a little while ago.
Oh, wild
so we're working with some turkeys right now. I've been trying to mute in between to make it a little
doesn't
better,
matter. Quieter than mine. No big deal. This is the dog episode. We've had some of those before. All right, we're going way down again. Gumby to flyweights. Edgar Chariz versus Daniel Lacerda, the fight that we've broken down so many times and it didn't happen. And it's going to happen. Actually, it did technically happen once. I don't know. Did we break it down originally? When did they fight originally?
I'm pretty sure we've broken it down at least twice. This could be a very quick breakdown.
All right. Lacerda sucks. One of them really sucks. Lacerda's Miojo, 11-5 with one no contest, five knockouts, six submissions. So he finishes everyone. Mm-hmm. He's been knocked out four times, submitted once. So he owes his rounds. 0-4 with one no contest in the UFC. No contest was his last fight against Chariz. What happened, Gumby?
Chariz had him in a guillotine. The ref thought he was out, picked up his hand. His hand dropped. So, you know, seemingly all evidence would point to him being out. And then he showed he wasn't. And then they changed it to a no contest.
They shouldn't. They never do that. And they shouldn't ever do
that. Well, this one wasn't even an appeal. This was just like in the cage. They were like, oh, yeah, he was awake. And it's like, but you have to show you're awake. You don't get to just say, I know my arm didn't move then, but I'm actually awake. So give me that no contest. Because most of these commissions can't restart fights. So, it was wild and should have been his, fifth straight loss? Is he 0-4 in the UFC?
0-4, yeah. I don't know why he's still around.
Should be 0-5.
Are you still awake because the guy's not choking you anymore? Also, like
that's a helpful piece.
Yeah. Anyhow, he's missed weight before too, so he's got everything going for him here. No wonder Lewis loves him so much. He's not won a fight since July of 2021. Was regional champion, more active landing strikes than Charisse, and better grappling stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 4.54 strikes per minute, plus 280. What, like, there's some guys that just, I don't know what it is, but UFC just can't. They can't quit them for some reason, right? It's very strange.
And I think this one is just because he's exciting. Like, he is fun to watch. Like, you can watch any of those past fights and be like, man, he's doing spinning back kicks. And this guy went, you know, he tagged him one time. And like, but at a certain point in time, you're like, this dude runs out of gas and gets subbed at the end of every single fight. is he the only guy to lose to Little Figgy? Figgy Smalls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the only guy to lose to Francisco Figueiredo. And it was literally, he had top control and he was like, here's my leg, please knee bar it. and Francisco Figueiredo obliged him. So, at a certain point in time, you have to be like, yes, it is exciting, but like, there's nothing to cap it off. There's no redeeming quality other than it was kind of fun to watch while it lasts.
Yeah. See, we've taken way too long on this already. I haven't even broken down the other guy yet. Charisse, Puro Chicali. What does that mean, Gumby? Pure what? Pure Chicali.
Puro doesn't mean, does it mean pure? No, I think it means tough. Is it tough?
Now I'm going to have to go. It's been so long, I didn't have the nickname written down. Pure Chicali. Are people yelling at their podcast catchers, perhaps? Chicali's a bird, it says, in Panama. So, and what does Puro mean? Puro means pure.
Oh, you were right.
Yes. Those turkeys, let me tell you. Just let them out to get the turkeys, Gumby. Go get the turkeys, guys. All right. I'm going to tell you about Lacerda, not turkeys. 10-5 with one no contest, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He finishes everyone as well. He's been submitted twice. He owes his rounds too. 0-1 with one no contest in the UFC. He got no contest in his last fight against Lacerda. Regional champion, inch reach over Lacerda. Better striking stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.66 strikes per minute, minus 345. Charisse, because Lacerda sucks, and Charisse is going to finish him again, right?
Yeah, this was my pick first on this one, but you can take it away. Yeah, Charisse, probably by sub again, any way he wants. I don't know. Charisse inside the distance is probably a playable one, although the props haven't been flying up on the board too quick. I've noticed kind of a slow bit of the books getting to props for this card, but when it does pop up, give me Charisse inside the distance.
Charisse inside. We can't pick that one for one of our fancy plays because there's no odds.
When we get to the fancy plays, I'll mention like there's some like Charisse inside the distance, and there are a couple others that I'm like kind of interested in, and the numbers just haven't popped up yet. Maybe they will by the time we get to the main card episode and stuff like that, but they've been slow going this time.
All right. We have been too. Let's move on. Flyweights, Jesus Santos Aguiar versus Matias Mendoza, or as I like to call him, Mendoza. All right, Aguiar, 9-2, 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He's been submitted twice, 1-1 in the UFC, 9-1 over his last 10. He won his last fight via knockout. 1-0 in contender series, regional champion, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he's outstruck his UFC in contender series points by 0.66 strikes per minute, plus 134. Mendoza. Really?
Yeah, I can't remember. They always say something wildly different than I say on the broadcast.
doesn't mean it's correct though. That's the thing.
No.
Bocao is the nickname. Bocao, B-O-C-A-O. Do you know what that means, Gumby?
Big mouth.
Yes, that is him. We got a lip detonator and a big mouth. 10-2, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 0-2 in the UFC, lost via TKO in his last fight. 1-0 contender series. He's fight at bantamweight, 2 inches height, 9 inches of reach. 3 years younger than Nagy are, more active landing strikes. He's been outstruck in the UFC contender series by 4.25 strikes per minute. That would explain why he's lost two fights. -140. We'll let you go first since I stole your last one.
I'm going to take Aguiar.
Really?
Yeah, I like the overhand right that he throws. I think he's one of those people that we have a tough time coming to grips with exactly what he is. Because in two fights, you know, he fought Tetsuya Taira, who, you know, do what you will with that. And it went 15 minutes, which maybe is actually a feather in his cap. And then his other fight lasted 17 seconds because he knocked out Shannon Ross because, like, so did a stiff breeze. And, like, you know, at this point in time, how do you handicap a guy who does something like that? And I think if you just look to his full body of work, that the wrestling is much, much better than Mendonca. I've had some issues with Mendonca's wrestling in the past, if you want to look back at some of his past fights. I think that overhand right is a good tool when you talk about closing the distance, right? Because you talked about there being a big range advantage and reach advantage. I don't think Mendonca is really good at keeping that advantage. And then when you add in that Aguiar's best strike is an overhand right, he's going to throw that and work it right into a takedown. And I think that that's perfect. I think his grappling is so much better. I think there's lots of reasons to like Aguiar in this fight. And you know, I said it before the Ross fight, and granted it was against Ross, so like, did he actually prove anything? But I think that his striking is far better than we were giving him credit going into that fight. And it's not even his best trait, right? His best trait is his grappling. So yeah, I like Aguiar here.
I don't. I like Mendonca, Mendonca, whatever his name is. I do like his striking. Mendonca's striking. I like the nine inches of reach, obviously. I did watch tape, and I like what I see from Mendonca.
Look at you watching all kinds of tape this week.
I don't remember what I watched from a lot of these people, but it helped me make my pick. So apparently I like what I saw from Big Mouth over Aguiar here. So Mendonca is the pick for me. Now we'll go to the main event of the prelims, bantamweights. Christian Quiñones versus Jaime Barcelos. I shall tell you about Quiñones first. Problema is the nickname. 18-4, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. 1-1 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. He lost via submission in his last fight. 1-0 in contender series, multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt. The shirt I'm wearing right now. Not this exact one, but you can get one in your size. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. What else can I tell you about this gentleman? 2013 pro MMA debut, 1 inch of height, 3 inches reach, 9 years younger than Barcelos. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 0.1 strikes per minute. So pretty much a wash there. +160. Barcelos, 17-5, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 6-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight and only won 1 of his last 5. He's fight at featherweight. Multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. 2012 pro MMA debut. Grappling champion, wrestling champion, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and more active landing strikes than Quiñones. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.35 strikes per minute, -160. I'm going dog here. I'm taking Quiñones. Obviously, the youth is a big thing for me on this card and basically all the cards. I like his power on the feet. I have concerns about Barcelos's chin. Especially, was it last fight he got knocked out by Umar, or maybe 2 fights ago? But
that's Umar, though.
I know.
He didn't really catch him to Umar.
He didn't catch him super, super hard. Quiñones can crack, though. That's the thing. And he's got the size and the youth on his side. And Barcelos hasn't shown much as of late. So I think Quiñones is a live dog here. I shall take him.
I mean, he hasn't shown much, but like, let's talk about who he's been fighting, too, right? Like, he's fighting Kyler Phillips and Umar Nurmagomedov, and you know, like, he's fighting good dudes. And then there were long layoffs. That Umar loss, by the way, is now 14 months old. So not completely old, but a little bit on the old side. And look, I'm just going to say from the Quiñones side, I don't trust his wrestling defense. And I know that seems like it's a theme to what we're talking about in this fight. And I certainly don't trust his jiu-jitsu defense. His last fight, he fought Kyung-ho Kang, who I don't think of as being as good at jiu-jitsu as Raoni Barcelos. Might be a little bit better of a wrestler because Kang's kind of got sleeper good wrestling. He took him down like a minute into the fight and subbed him 2 minutes into the fight. It's like Quiñones wanted to give him his back and Kang obliged him. I worry about what that means against Barcelos. Like if Barcelos comes in there and just decides to strike with him, sure, I could see Quiñones cleaning up here. I could, and that's probably why the odds are as close as it is. because I think it basically comes down to whether or not Rayone Barcelos is an idiot or not. And I'm hoping he's not. I hope he just wrestles. But let me tell you how many times I've screamed at the screen during the last couple of fight cards. Why are you not shooting a takedown? Yeah. I'm ready to be hurt again. Give me Rayone Barcelos.
Yep. Yeah. Counting on someone to fight how you want them to fight isn't always a good path. So, all right. We disagreed on a bit, which makes things interesting come Saturday. All right. I'll recap, and then I'll get away. Now the dogs are quiet. We'll finish recording. That makes sense. Quiñones for me, Barcelos for Dan, Aguirre for Dan, Mendonca, or someone will tell us in the YouTube comments, I'm sure, for me. Charisse, I guess we'll take Charisse. Puelish as a dog, Rodriguez, Dos Santos, Naimov. There you go. There are your picks. We'll be back tomorrow. Will the dogs be barking? We shall see. Literally and figuratively. In the meantime, Discord is this place to be. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. Our subscribers are going up. We're almost at 300. Help us get past there. We're still getting a lot more viewers than we are subscribers. So remember to smash that subscribe button. Doesn't cost you a penny. And if you have multiple accounts, smash it on every account. That would be MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube. Or apparently you can search canned tuna recipes and you'll find us that way as well. So where else? X, Twitter X, SGP and MMA, at Gummy Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm also at Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. MoneyMMA.substack.com is the place to be that all my MMA writing, other than the Sports Gambling Podcast stuff, shows up there along with my free pick'em contest I run for the UFC every week. Get in there, win some free stuff. Courtesy of me. Top Turtle MMA podcast. I just listened to it yesterday night. Gumby hosted it along with his co-host Shockwave. Tell us who's on it, Gumby.
So I was talking to Daniel Zellhuber, Manuel Torres, and Ronaldo Rodriguez, who are all on this Saturday's UFC Mexico City card.
Yes, all good interviews. You didn't ask Zellhuber why he has a German last name.
Daniel Zellhuber just makes me think German. But my co-host did call him Daniel Zellhuber, which was kind of lovely.
Perfect. That makes it less. I don't know what that makes it sound like. American, I guess. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Make sure you do all that and listen to all our other great podcasts as well. All right. We're going back tomorrow. Puro Shikali, Jeff Fox, El Nino, Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.